pure mind, pure land, our inherent nature, Amitabha.
Amitabha means boundless brightness, boundless life, boundless merit. In fact, a boundlessness of everything good. Most of us only know Amitabha Buddha to be the Dharma teacher of the Western pure land of utmost bliss. However, we may not realize that all of us also have in us our own pure land and Amitabha. Since in our mind there is Amitabha Buddha, how should we then cultivate ourselves in order to uncover our inherent nature Amitabha? Take for example when someone casts abusive language at me. I recite Amitabha Buddha. This indicates that not only do I not receive his abuse, but in reciting Amitabha Buddha, boundless brightness is revealed, eliminating the darkness arising from his abusive language. Similarly, when I am given a present, I say, Amitabha Buddha. This expresses my gratitude. At this time, our minds are filled with boundless brightness, and the giver also receives boundless blessings. Therefore, we resonate with Amitabha Buddha. When I observe that a person has a dignified appearance, good-looking countenance, and is kind and gracious, I say Amitabha Buddha. This expresses my commendation of the person for his virtuous qualities, as Amitabha Buddha himself is very majestic, dignified, handsome, kind, and gracious. In saying Amitabha Buddha, I am praising the person for his majesty and dignity, akin to Amitabha Buddha. When I see a student studying, I say Amitabha Buddha. Of course, we could also say, he is very conscientious and intelligent. However, sometimes an intelligent person may be adversely obstructed by his intelligence. An intelligent person who does well at school may not necessarily go on to do good things when he grows up. If we use Amitabha Buddha to express our praise for such a person, brightness arises in his mind. With brightness of mind, not only will he be able to study well and do great things, but in future, when he grows up, he will go on to practice as a bodhisattva and eventually attain Buddhahood. Hence, praising one by saying Amitabha Buddha is indeed excellent. What if we come across a slaughterhouse where pigs, cattle, or other animals are killed? Any killing constitutes committing a transgression which will cause one to descend into hell. When you see this and say, they slaughter these animals, so they will go to hell, do you think these are appropriate words to say for that moment? Whether the other party goes to hell or not, we do not know. However, by saying, go to hell, we ourselves are already resonating with hell. Because there is darkness and suffering in hell, by making such a statement, we resonate with the darkness and suffering of hell. Conversely, if we say Amitabha Buddha, there is instantly brightness in our minds, and the image of the slaughterhouse does not take root in our mind. If we see two people quarreling or fighting with each other, we must not join in. If we take part in such activities, in future, we will end up in the Asura realm. Going to the Asura realm is not good. All we need to do is think of Amitabha Buddha and recite Amitabha Buddha. Then, in the future, we will not resonate with beings of the Asura realm. At a marketplace, we may notice people shortchanging others or cheating on the scales. These are all actions of deceit. Just saying Amitabha Buddha would suffice, because shortchanging others and cheating on the scales are actions of greed. These are in resonance with the realm of ghosts. In future, such people will fall into the realm of ghosts. By reciting Amitabha Buddha, not only do we not resonate with ghosts, but furthermore, we resonate with Amitabha Buddha and have boundless brightness. All over the world, curiosity is a common human trait. When we discover that someone has a secret, we might steal an extra glance to satisfy our curiosity. Although this in itself is not such a serious matter, it would be terrible if we witnessed the other party getting up to something bad. If they found out, our life could be over. But conversely, if we just mentally recite Amitabha Buddha and quickly take our leave, we would be in resonance with all virtue and brightness rather than with darkness. If we see that someone has fallen into water, of course we should save him if we have the ability to do so. However, if we lack the ability and someone else goes to his rescue, we can help by saying Amitabha Buddha. This will bring the brightness and blessings of Amitabha Buddha to the victim. Furthermore, in our own mind, we would be in resonance with Amitabha Buddha. If someone tells you how bad Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Smith is, whether or not they are bad, that is their own business. In the Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch, Hui Neng, it is stated that although I see another's fault with his erring, I do not myself err, else my own erring is a fault. That is to say, if someone has committed a wrongdoing, that is their own affair. If I were to join in and participate in the wrongdoing, then I would have committed an offence. When you hear this person speaking ill of others, it would suffice just to say Amitabha Buddha. Otherwise, if upon hearing these complaints, you speak ill of the others too, then this person may very well go over to the other side and speak badly of you. By simply saying Amitabha Buddha, you resonate with brightness and nobody has reason to create trouble or to speak ill of you. Hence, Amitabha Buddha really is a very useful phrase. Regardless of whether we encounter good, bad, or neutral situations, we say Amitabha Buddha. Then our mind is at ease and in brightness. Henceforth, we resonate with brightness. We should cultivate this good habit of reciting Amitabha Buddha, but it isn't very easy to do, because if you only recite Amitabha Buddha with your lips and not with your mind, that will not do. You should always maintain brightness of mind and constantly be in resonance with Amitabha Buddha. In this way, while you say Amitabha Buddha, the karma of your body, speech and mind are all in resonance with Amitabha Buddha. Actually, attaining brightness of mind is simple. This is how you need to practice. Mind of the past cannot be grasped. Mind of the present cannot be grasped. Mind of the future cannot be grasped. The mind of the past has already passed. You cannot catch it back. The mind of the future has yet to arrive, so you cannot grab hold of it, much as you may want to. The mind of the present does not stay. No matter what is on your mind now, as soon as the next thought arises, it would already have gone. Thus, you have no way of holding on either. So, all the same, we will need to cultivate non-ego to shatter our I-ego. With the notion of I, there will be a my. Thus, you think, my wife, my husband, my house, my assets, my children, etc. Everything is mine. But where is this I? You cannot even be sure. Take a moment now. Close your eyes and search for I. Did you find I? Because this I is truly hard to find. No matter where you search throughout your whole body, you will fail to discover where it is. If you say, I see you, Venerable, then is it your eye that is seeing? You may reply that the eye who sees are my eyes. But then again, that would be my eyes that see rather than the eye that sees. If you say, I hear you teaching the Dharma, Venerable, what hears are my ears. It is not the eye that hears. Eyes are not the eye, and neither are ears. But even if eyes and ears were eye, how about the nose? Who is that? If you think that your nose is eye, then who is the mouth? Nevertheless, you have to say my mouth. If you say that the mouth is eye and the tongue is eye, then who are the arms and legs? They are all my arms and my legs. Even the hairs on the head are regarded as the hair on my head. In that case, you may perhaps consider your head to be the eye. But if you say that the head is eye, then again, who is the body? No matter how we discuss these, they are all not eye. Since they are not eye, it would appear that there is no reason to be attached to an eye at all. Therefore, as practitioners, we must constantly seek out non-eye form. Everywhere is non-ego. With the discovery of non-eye form comes the realization of illusory forms and illusory eye everywhere. And then there is the non-person form. By a person form, we are referring to the other person relative to ourselves. Since we cannot even find an I form, how could we possibly find a person form? Thus, the person form is empty. If the I form is empty, then of course the person form of the other party is also empty. Furthermore, if I form and person form are all empty, then how could there be sentient being form? Therefore, we say that the form of sentient beings is also empty. What is sentient being form? Sentient being form encompasses both inner beings and outer beings. Inner beings refer to the thinking in our mind, our opinions and attachments, while outer beings refer to the arising and ceasing of causes and conditions that are external to our mind, including all people. Since the sentient being form is empty, so too is time form. That too is empty. A practitioner needs to practice until he has attained no three minds and no four forms. The mind of the past cannot be grasped. The mind of the present cannot be grasped. The mind of the future cannot be grasped. No I form, no person form, no sentient being form, no time form. That is what is meant by no three minds and no four forms. When you have freed yourself of all forms and realize the empty nature of everything, then in this state of emptiness, there is boundless brightness. When you attain this boundless brightness, Amitabha Buddha resides in your mind. Everyone has an illusory eye. Since this body is false, merely an aggregated form, we should make better use of it to cultivate ourselves, attain merits, and perform meritorious deeds. Merit is the state of non-arising and non-ceasing of the mind. When one attains this state, all deeds performed are with a pure, enlightened mind, free of three minds and four forms. Such deeds are meritorious. In performing meritorious deeds, we do not just do them today and stop tomorrow. In the past, we should have done them. We should do them in the present too, and also in the future. Similarly, morals and ethics are what we ought to have in the past, present, as well as future. Since there is boundless brightness and boundless merit, so past, present, future, past, present, future, this is boundless time. Thus we have attained our own inherent nature, Amitabha. At this juncture, although we have not yet reached the Western Pure Land of utmost bliss, and we are still living at home, our home has already become a part of the Western Pure Land of utmost bliss. What is Pure Land? The lands of the Buddhas in the Ten Directions are known as Pure Lands. Where do Pure Lands come from? First, we start by purifying the mind. There is only a pure land when the mind is pure. Our mind is similar to the Mother Earth. In Chinese, when we say that a person is kind-hearted, we might say that the field of his mind is very good. The grounds of his mind are bright. The mind is compared to fields and lands because out of fields and lands, a multitude of plants can grow. Likewise, from within our minds spring all kinds of intentions, all kinds of solutions. Heavens and hells are created by the mind. If in your mind you think only virtuous thoughts, then what you do will also be virtuous. Consequently, you rise to the heavens. If you think evil thoughts, you will come up with evil intentions, do evil things, and thus descend into hell. Therefore, heavens and hells are all creations of the mind. Now, if neither good nor bad abides within the mind, it is pure. Pure mind, pure land. When everybody's mind has become pure, the land upon which we live will also be pure. Those who wish to be reborn in the Western Pure Land of utmost bliss should not think that they can be reborn there with whatever karma they have. Actually, it all depends on what kind of karma it is. With virtuous karma, rebirth will be in a virtuous realm. With evil karma, rebirth will be in an evil realm. It is only with pure karma that one will be reborn in the Western Pure Land of utmost bliss, because everything that we do is karma. There is body karma, speech karma, and mind karma, the three karmas. Only when our body, speech, and mind are all pure will we be able to be reborn in the Western Pure Land of utmost bliss. While reciting Amitabha Buddha, we can attain purity of three karmas. When one's mind becomes pure, one's surroundings will respond positively. When every person purifies his mind, the family becomes pure. When families are pure, society becomes pure. When societies are pure, the country becomes pure. And when countries are pure, we have a pure world. Thus, pure land on earth will be accomplished. For those of us who practice by reciting the Buddha's name, it is important that we also cultivate all kinds of blessings. As is said in Amitabha Sutra, to be born in this pure land, one must not be lacking in virtuous roots, blessings, causes, and conditions. When we have accomplished the six paramitas, that is, morality, forbearance, generosity, diligence, Dhyana Samadhi, and wisdom, to be reborn in the Western Pure Land will be a simple matter. Dhyana Samadhi is when all our thinking and thoughts are completely purified to emptiness, and our original pure nature is revealed, sustained, and unmoved. If your mind has become as pure as Amitabha Buddha's, you need not wait for Amitabha Buddha to bring you to the pure land. At that point, you already are a great bodhisattva. Not only can great bodhisattvas go to the Western Pure Land, they can also go to any pure land in the Ten Directions. If you practice in this way, when you reach the Western Pure Land, you will not be born of a lower caliber, in a lower lotus grade. On the contrary, you may be born of a higher caliber, in a higher lotus grade, or even surpass lotus grades altogether to become a teacher there.